message. You know, usually I post my notes online, and you probably get to see them before we start. But the way that God works is he works, you know, prophetically through different people, and he confirms things through verses, through the songs. And today, the verse about the gold, the message for today is gold standard.
Wow.
Gold standard. Yes, that is my message for today. I want to invite all the children that are in this place to come up and just sit at the steps here. Today, you get to join with us. We want to tell you you're very special to us. So all children, just sit right here. Show them how to do it. Dale. Okay, just don't knock over the picture, please. All right. Yeah, come on, let's give them a hand. Yay. Hey, how you doing? Excellent. Well, today's a special day because we celebrate 40 years as a ministry here in this city. This was a ministry that was mandated by God. It was not a man's good idea. It was not birthed in a church planting book. This ministry was prophetically inspired. This means that it was God who said he would establish a church in Sierra Vista to carry out a special work. The word says, "In this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and that it be fruit that will last." When King David prayed and prophesied for his son Solomon as he was taking over as the king, he was passing on the baton, he said this to him. It was a prayer, but it was also prophetic in Psalm chapter 72, verses 5, and I'm going to read verse 15. And it says the following: "May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. Long may he live, may gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. The most worthwhile endeavors are those that have eternal consequence and that have been begun in the perfect will of God." David also prayed that Solomon be given gold because gold represents God's best. The word tells us that of all the most precious artifacts of the tabernacle of Moses, that God ordained, they were to be covered by gold because it symbolizes heaven. The word also tells us that heaven is paved by streets of gold. God surely esteems gold highly. Gold is God's standard. It is the standard. So we rejoice that not only God ordained this ministry, but he has given us the grace to endure, to minister relentlessly, to love incessantly, to pray fervently, and to laugh with those that laugh, and to cry with those that cry. Many have come and gone and have called us their home, and we're well, certainly not perfect. God has been perfect in his faithfulness and has walked us by the hand and taught us and even allowed us to transition so gracefully and powerfully. It was so God. It was so God. I stand today humbled as I've spent the last week in my spiritual booth. Remember last week we talked about the Feast of Booths, Sukkot? That was part one of this message. All week, looking through the pictures and preparing the video, I got to reminisce, and I was humbled because sometimes we feel that we've discovered something new. But God's been doing great ministry through the centuries. You know, we just get to be in the continuum, be part of this great thing of God that was God-ordained. The thousands of people touch, the cloud of witnesses and faithful servants. Certainly God had his eye upon Shiloh. He has his eye upon Shiloh. And today prophetically God told us, reminded us of the mandate. He's going to do great things, people. He's doing great things. All of us here are a testimony to God's love and faithfulness. Our name, by the way, is a prophetic name of Jesus. First seen in Genesis 49:10. And it says, "Until Shiloh come, and to him, you know, while the gathering of the people be, you know, until Shiloh come, until Jesus comes, and we're all being gathered to Jesus." Because like we sang earlier, he didn't want heaven without us. He didn't want heaven without us. Shiloh has withstood the test of time. God's refinement, God's proving. As I have been seeing the hand of God over my life in this ministry, I felt the fear of God. It's a holy fear in a new way. God is doing a fresh work, and we don't want it to stop. We don't want to sin. We don't want to be in the way. We don't want to become an obstacle of the revival that God is doing in our lives. But let me tell you something. God tests everything he does. He's not going to entrust you greater things if you cannot handle them. So gold, in its purest state, is malleable. It is soft. God wants us to be purged of all the impurities, the hardness to God's purpose, and which keep us from loving people as he would. So we see 40 all throughout the scriptures. It means a lot of things, and I'm going to talk about them in a second. But look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to 5. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all of these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out, and our feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Let's just close it up and go home, because that's good enough right there. So what do 40 years mean? Well, I got this slide for you. You see, there's more meanings than this, but I listed just four of them that are very important. 40 years in the wilderness. The number 40, if you look at whether it was 40 years on the mountain, 40 years fasting, 40 days of being taunted by Goliath, just 40 is all over the place. And it means times of testing, times of purging, times of purifying, times of preparing. For Noah's Ark, during the flood, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Like we said, Goliath challenged Israel's army for 40 days before David took him down with a slingshot. Did you guys know that? Yeah. Sometimes you feel like your enemy is taunting you day and night. I think this is for somebody here, because some of you are being tormented in your emotions because of your past or because of relationships, and Satan is just taunting you day after day. And you're saying, where is God? Where is God? Where is God? Where is God? Well, God sent a deliverer in due time. He sent a David, a representative of Jesus, to deliver him. He was the deliverer. Moses spent 40 days and nights with God on the mountain fasting, and God gave him the law. Something great came from it. And it says that his countenance shone when he was coming down. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted and tested before he started his ministry. And right before that, he was baptized, and the Father's voice was heard. What did he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want to tell you, when you are in the wilderness place, he's not punishing you. He's leading you there. God was well pleased with a son before he took him into the wilderness. Sometimes you're saying, where is God? And I want to tell you, my own life, I've had a number of wilderness experiences. I hate to say it, but it's not a one-time deal. In the wilderness, you can't hear voice clearly. You're like, where is God? It's kind of like growth spurts, Think of babies. When they're small and they get into trouble, something happens, you rush to them and you pick them up and you clean them up. And God does that for us. But as we grow up, as we mature, he will let us, he'll take the training wheels off and say, let's see how far you can go, because I want you to grow. I want you to mature in your character. I want to see how far you can go with what you've seen so far. And then he'll rescue us again, and he'll do a great thing. And when that time of testing ends, it's like we've graduated. You're in a new level, a new season. But I just want to tell you by that scripture, if you are going through the wilderness, maybe you didn't even know there was such a thing called a wilderness experience. But God uses, the number 40, the wilderness experience, often in our lives. Times of testing, of purifying, of trying, of when you're going and saying, you're saying, why? Like Job, why is this happening to me? Why? Why? Revelation 3:18 and 19 says, So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire, then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Some of you are going through wilderness experience, a time of testing, of pruning, of humbling, and purifying so that God can pour out his purpose and his blessing and so that it will not spoil you. You've heard of spoiled children that were given everything and then you give them a little freedom and they don't know what to do with it. Well, God wants to make sure that once he entrusts his kingdom to you, because he has a purpose for you, Shiloh, for all the body of Christ, and he's going to test everything he does. He cannot entrust you his greater revelations, his power, his anointing, his riches, because it will spoil you, because then that will become your God. Cheryl's getting ahead of me, showing my. I said the reveal. Let's hold it back for a little bit, Cheryl, because I don't want people to get there too quick. So how do you know if it's a wilderness experience? I'm close to finishing. Well, you'll know if it's sin. If it's sin, it's not the wilderness experience. If it's sin, and we all sin, but let me just say, when we talk about living in sin, it's talking about a constant, willful sin, where you're just living in something you know you shouldn't be doing, and then there's consequences to that. That is not the wilderness experience. I'm talking about people that, you know, God, I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to do the right things. And because I'm confused right now, there's uncertainty in my life. I have sinned a little bit, but I repented, and I'm constantly repenting. You know, that's the wilderness experience. It's different from just being in willful sin. Paul said, you know what? And this is a perfect example. He said, the things that I don't want to do, those I do. And the things that I don't want to do, those I do. Yeah. I've asked God to remove this thing from me 3 times. I've been praying. This is Paul we're talking about. And even God said, hold on, Paul. I'm doing a work in your life. My grace is sufficient for you. Right? I've given you hanging on power, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I've given you hanging on power to endure the season. Because when you come out on the other side, you will be pure like gold. You're going to be pure like gold. You're going to have robes of righteousness on you, and then I will be able to entrust the next level of thing I'm doing in your life. So do not despise the times of testing. You know, we've gone through 40 years where we've had great times, and we've had not so great times here at Shiloh. But in all of them, there's purpose if we allow God. The Bible says, for God works all things for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I want to remind you, every single one of you, you're not here by chance. You were called according to his purpose. And some of you are catching it in your heart already. You're like, yes, I see it. There's something drawing me. You don't know what it is, but there's something gnawing at you. There's a fire being lit in your bones to say, I got to move on with God. I got to go to the next level. It's been 40 years. You know, I'm ready to move on. But if it's the flesh, simply crucify it. You don't cast out the flesh. You crucify it, right? You deny it. You say, you know, sometimes I get up and feelings overwhelm me. Feelings, you know, sometimes because of relationships, because of difficult things. And it's just one of that slide just wants to come up. Oh, it's only back there. How does that work? Okay, I thought it was up here too. That's easy. I was confused too. I'm confused. All right. But think about Paul. Paul and Silas, they weren't feeling too good in that down there in that place, right? But they sang hymns. They had joy in their hearts. The joy is the fruit of the Spirit. What is joy? It's a deep down strength. It's an undergirding. It is the power and contentment that no matter what is going on in your life, you say, like we sang earlier, it is well. It is well in my soul. Things are not as I would like them to be, but that is okay. God is still faithful. God is still good. Amen? It's a deep-seated strength, a peace, and a trust. Listen, someone said, one step of faith in the wilderness is worth more than 1,000 steps of feelings outside of the wilderness. God honors people that in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the trials and the testing, you say, God, you're still holy, you're still awesome, and I trust you even though I'm not seeing it right now. That is faith. That is faith. So now, let's bring out that slide. What is the wilderness experiences? And notice that I said experiences because it's plural. This is kind of like a summary slide. Remember, like Deuteronomy 8:2, the Lord your God led you through the wilderness. He led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. God is setting you up at times because he's wanting to develop godly character in you. He's humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Number two, there's purpose in it. God wants to reveal those things that are in you that you can't see. Some people, when trials come, they react in anger. Was the anger not there? No, the anger was there. It just needed something to reveal it, to bring it to the surface. I was talking to a friend, and he said, hey, my brother challenged me. You know, we're doing this thing where we're going to get fit. And I told him, in 6 months, I'm going to have a six-pack. And he said to me, I just want to remind you, the six-pack is there. I just need to reveal it. It's already there. So there's things in us that are there, but God uses to bring to the surface. You know, when you heat up gold, a lot of the impurities will rise to the top, and you can just scoop them out. You know, metallurgists, that's what they do. And that's how God works with it, because he wants to approve us. You know, his standard is gold. Amen? Number three, it is temporary. Whew! Yeah. It's not forever. It's not forever. Now, let me just say something. You cannot shorten the time. Tell the person next to you, you cannot shorten the time. But tell them, but you can sure extend it. But you can sure extend it. If you're kicking and screaming and you're complaining to God and blaming it on God and blaming everybody else, that's what happened to the people in the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, you're thinking about it, it's early in the 40 years. It's the first few months. And the people began to complain against Moses. Why is he the leader? Who is he? He's not even the oldest. Aaron's the oldest. And wait a second, didn't he marry a Midianite woman from the desert? She's not even one of us. And they began to just find fault in him. And God's providing manna every day. And they're like, manna again, that song again. Pastor Eric's going to preach about that again. But in the whole time, he was sustaining them. It says that their clothes did not wear. Their sandals didn't wear. There was no blisters in their feet. He was still watching over them. But he was purging. Remember, Israel, is a personification of each one of us. That there's a period of time of purging, of purifying, of preparing, of testing, of pruning in our lives that is leading to something so that they would be able to enter the promised land and be able to be good representatives of God. Even Moses didn't make it. Why? Because he misrepresented God. He said, strike the rock again. Wait a second. Yeah, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to speak to the rock. It says, Jesus only had to be struck one time and for all. Now you can just pray and believe that he forgives your sins. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus was crucified once and for all. If you're here, it's because of his work on the cross. And you can go right now in your heart, outside when you're driving, in your home, and just cry out to God, and he hears you. Because Jesus made your prayers acceptable. Because when God sees you, he sees Jesus in you. How can he reject his own son? Now, there's some of you here that may not have a relationship with Jesus. And that's not the case. And the last thing, special blessing and favor follow immediately. You will know when you have finished this time because you will notice things. Yes. Yes. Things that used to affect you before all of a sudden do not affect you anymore. People see you different too. You know, when Joshua entered the promised land, God said, from this day forward, people are going to see you differently. He had told them, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And he said that to me too. I mean, I had to follow Pastor Joseph's footsteps. I had to step into his shoes. I wear a size 11, he wears a size 13. You know, or something like that. It's definitely bigger than mine. 13? Yeah. You can see that a man of anointing. You heard the prophetic word. That was God speaking through the man. It'd be easy for me to say, who am I, Lord? Who am I that you are mindful of me? But you know what? He said, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Do not let the words of this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on them day and night. Just be strong and of good courage. Just be strong and good courage, because you're going to lead the people into the promised land. Amen. And all of you are a part of it. And when we talk about promised land, yes, we're talking about souls. We're talking about anointing. We're talking about lives changed. But I'm also talking about blessing in your own homes. You know, advancement in your jobs. Prosperity of different kinds, because that's how it works. God's vision affects every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. But yes, it will not be the last wilderness experience. You know, before, when you're in the desert place, you do a lot of work and you feel that there's no return. But when you step out of it, you feel like you do little work and there's a ton of return. You're like, what's different, God? You've graduated. You can handle it. Now you're walking in my grace. Now you're walking in my favor. This is me doing it. Before, you would have taken credit for it. Now you realize that I am your provision. Before, you said, look how awesome I am. Now you're saying, I give you the glory, God. I cannot claim any of the credit for anything that God has done here. I do not deserve to be here. Paul said, I am in debt. I'm a debtor. So, just to close it, if you will please stand with me. If you're in the wilderness experience today, I want to say to you, recognize it. Stop complaining. God is not punishing you. If you sin, just repent. Move on. Say, God, I need you. What are you trying to show me? Let him work in your life. The Bible says that he is the potter, and we are the clay. Clay needs to be soft to be worked. Otherwise, he has to grind you and add water and start all over. Right? You don't want to do that. It is better that you fall on the rock than the rock falls on you, says the scriptures. You don't want him to fall on you. Make it easy on yourself so you not end up going around the desert. The Bible tells us that the people of Israel spent 40 years in the desert because they did not get it. They did not get it. Says, okay, I got to purge you of all these people that have the slave mentality, that have, you know, the complaining mentality, that are afraid. They don't have faith. So let God work in you. Shiloh, we have completed 40 years of testing, and now we're ready to move on to the next level. Are you ready to move with me? Are you ready to move with me? Are you guys ready?